Good morning. In the church season of Epiphany, we think about Jesus Christ as the light of the whole world. By his light, we see the truth about ourselves and about the world. He shows us what the invisible God is like. And this means that we use the season to consider the mission of the church. Do you remember Epiphany last year? We spent the season talking about our vocations, all the different kinds of everyday work that we do in the world, because that is part of the church's mission, serving God and our neighbors with whatever we do in our everyday work. But this year, we are talking about the part of our mission in which we make Jesus known with our words. The generous encounter of the church with the darkness of the world where Jesus is not known. The encounter with people who do not yet believe in him. The mission is to make Jesus Christ known to everyone, everywhere. God has been generous with us, and we are meant to be generous with others. We don't hide the light at the end of this dead-end county road that our church building is on. And this also is something that we all do. It's not just the work of pastors or religious workers. Someone had a generous encounter with us and told us about Jesus. And so we want to be generous in our turn and pass on the light. It reminds me of the Christmas Eve service, which we didn't get to have this year, when the light gets passed from candle to candle until the same light burns everywhere. We have been using a few verses in Romans chapter 10, written by the Apostle Paul. So let me read you this verses 14 to 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Today we have arrived at that part which asks, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? What better way to do that, really? What better way to do that than read about how this same Apostle Paul got sent out? But before we do that, you need to know a little bit about the church in Antioch that did the sending. And so let's get introduced to the church in Antioch by reading from Acts 11. It's there in your order of worship. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Let me pause and explain. The church began in Antioch because the believers in Jesus were persecuted in Jerusalem. One of the deacons in Jerusalem named Stephen was killed for telling people about Jesus Christ faithfully. And you see, even though we are always to be generous when we encounter others, the news about Jesus will not always be welcome. Even when our words and our actions are motivated by love, some people are going to feel threatened and get angry because the message is that Jesus is absolutely unique. Only he is the true Son of God. Now, at first, the followers of Jesus were mostly Jews, and they spoke mostly to other Jews wherever they went. When they got to Antioch, they began talking to Hellenists. Hellenists. These were Jews that fit in to the surrounding Gentile culture, not like back in Jerusalem where the Jews really owned the culture. Jerusalem is where the temple was and where the festivals happened, and everything was ritually pure, or tried to be. In Antioch, there were synagogues, but there were also pagan temples, and you had to rub shoulders with other religions and different kinds of people. It was a pluralistic setting, like ours today in Charlottesville. And the hand of the Lord was with the believers who went as refugees to Antioch. And a great number of the Jews in Antioch believed and called on the name of the Lord. So, what happened? Well, the church in Jerusalem heard about how the Spirit was working, and they sent someone to help. They sent a man named Barnabas. And when Barnabas came and saw things for himself, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. People had believed the message about Jesus, but Barnabas wanted to help them remain faithful. We are meant not only to tell people about Jesus, we are to baptize them in the name of the Trinity, and we are to teach them to observe all that Jesus commanded. It is sometimes easy to fall away from faith and obedience, especially in a setting like Antioch. I once visited my son living in Queens. It was called by a travel guide the most ethnically diverse neighborhood in the whole United States. And on his short block were every kind of religion and, a father noticed, every kind of temptation. And I found myself asking, why would anyone think Jesus is unique in the middle of all of this diversity? But the story continues. Things were going well, really well. So what did Barnabas do? We're told he went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. That's what Barnabas did. He went to find Saul to help him with the work. You know, these places we are reading about are real. It's like saying, when the church got persecuted in Queens, some of the believers went to Pittsburgh. And things in Pittsburgh went so well that the church in Queens sent Bob. And Bob, when he got to Pittsburgh, needed help. And so he went and found Ralph in Philadelphia. Barnabas and Saul remained in Antioch, teaching the church for a whole year. It's a lot of work to see a person transition and change from a Hellenistic Judaism into Christianity. Conversion, that initial belief in Jesus and calling on God, can happen quickly. But growth and maturity and working out what it means to follow Jesus in the mayhem of Antioch is a process. Barnabas and Saul were patient, and they worked hard. Barnabas and Saul were not eager to leave and to do something else. And now we come to the verses in Acts 13 that I wanted to look at all along. So they're in your order of worship also. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In this short passage, there is a lot to learn about being sent out as a missionary. First, take a look at this photo of the church in Antioch. All kinds of Jews were present. It was very multi-ethnic, though not as much as it was about to be. Take, for example, this guy, Manaen. He wasn't just from the court of Herod Antipas. The word actually means he was raised as a foster brother, a child raised with a royal child, kind of as a paid friend in a way. We meet Manaen as a Christian in Antioch, but Herod Antipas, who was raised with him, he was the same man that killed John the Baptist. He was the same one who acted such a jerk when he questioned Jesus on the morning of the crucifixion. I think Andrew Lloyd Webber got it pretty right when in the old musical, Jesus Christ Superstar, he has this Herod say, So you are the Christ, the great Jesus Christ. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. So Manaen must have quite a story to tell about how he came to believe in Jesus. And dear ones, it is true. When the Holy Spirit is at work, lots and lots of absolutely hard to imagine stuff begins to happen. But let's read on. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Fasting usually goes with prayer. These guys were not trying to lose weight. They wanted to worship God and be sensitive to whatever the Spirit wanted to say to them. And we are told that there were prophets and teachers in the church at Antioch. And some of the commentaries I hung out with this past week go to a lot of trouble over this. They try to remind us that prophecy can mean speaking powerfully, like preaching, and that is true. It doesn't always have to, have to mean a special sensitivity to the work of the Holy Spirit or the ability to foretell events. However that may be, back in Acts 11 again, we are told this. Listen carefully. "Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul." So, Agabus was able at times, by the inspiration of the Spirit, to tell things the church needed to know about the future. Here's my point. The church is seeking God, and the Spirit says it is time for Barnabas and Saul to move on from Antioch. And this is how the call of God works, it seems to me. Barnabas was sent to Antioch because the church in Jerusalem could see the need in Antioch. Barnabas went and got Paul to help because there was a lot of teaching work to do. In other words, Barnabas and Paul were already at work when the special call came. And when I meet with people, and it's a great joy too, when I meet with people who are called by God to some kind of mission, I find that they are already at work where they live. Barnabas and Saul did not need a special word to know that Antioch needed their help. So, this story is not about the Holy Spirit calling them to get to work. They are already at work, speaking and teaching about Jesus. No, what we are reading about is the Spirit telling the church that it is time for them to move on. It is time for them to move on and do something new and different. And that call seems rather vague, but with time, it will come into more and more focus. What did they do? They went back to fasting and praying together. But this time, it was to test the word and to consecrate Barnabas and Saul. You see, they were being sent from a place of many resources to a place with few. First, there were lots of great teachers in Jerusalem, so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Now there were lots of teachers in Antioch, and so the Holy Spirit called these two to move on to where they were most needed. So let's review. God's people, even when they are persecuted, keep speaking about Jesus wherever they go. God's church, when they needed to send somebody to help in Antioch, Barnabas was sent, but when he needed help, he went and got Saul. Barnabas and Saul were already doing important work when the Holy Spirit spoke directly that it was time for them to move on. Barnabas and Saul were called away from a place of rich church resources to places with few. They are not given a clear call at the beginning, but they were not shown the entire future. They go from fasting and prayer in seeking God. They hear from God. Then they persist in fasting and prayer to test and to consecrate. Barnabas and Saul are both sent and released to the new work. And dear ones, it can still happen this way, even in our day. The Holy Spirit should find us fasting and praying and seeking God, because surely, surely, our church is a place with many resources. We have teachers, and we have money, and we have all sorts of gifts and talents and opportunities. The Spirit should find us already at work where we are. It's not right to await a special word to get started. The church already knows that we are to be telling people about Jesus, baptizing people into the new life in God, training them as disciples to do all that Jesus commanded. We don't need a special word for that. And yet, once in a while, some of us are indeed asked to move on, to leave what's familiar and to move on into an uncertain future, to leave our wealthy circumstances and go where people have great needs. And this morning is special. I have an example of just what we have been talking about. And so let me invite Marty, our director for mission, to come up, and he is going to speak about and with Molly, who this morning we are sending out. Molly has already been doing a lot of work to make Jesus known, but she is going to move from a place of many Christian resources to a place with very few.
Thank you, Pastor Wade, for that wonderful sermon. What a wonderful thing that we would have a sermon on sending out missionaries, which coincides exactly with what we are doing today. Molly, for years, has been active with Trinity Mission. She was active with Trinity Mission before I started as interim director of mission. She's very familiar with the stuff of mission, and after sensing the call, Molly prayerfully and intentionally prepared herself and equipped herself to go out onto the mission field. In proclaiming Christ in word and deed, Molly will use her special skills and her gifts as a nurse in joining a medical team of believers that is already at work in South Asia. Also of significance is that Molly is the first new missionary that Trinity has sent out onto the mission field in some time. And so it is our prayer and hope that this would perhaps be a restart of sorts of people at Trinity listening, and some of our members feeling that special call to leave what is familiar and to take the gospel of peace to unreached people around the world. It is bittersweet for a church to say goodbye to somebody for whom we have much affection, like Molly. But Molly is going to say a few words and then join me and Pastor Wade as we pray over and commission our dear sister Molly.
Thank you, Body of Christ, for sending me to South Asia. This is not a one-time send-off that you watch on a screen. You have a huge role to play in the advancement of the gospel in the world. And I need one thing from you. Church, I need you to be praying. So go ahead and grab a piece of paper or pull up a new note on your phone and write these down so that you can be praying for me and my team. So please pray for my teammates and I as we learn the language and adjust to the culture. Please pray for unity in our team. Pray for abundant grace and love for each other. The devil likes to send spirits of divisiveness and selfishness. Please pray against these things. Pray that the Holy Spirit will open people's hearts and minds to the truth. Pray that God would use our team to provide miraculous physical and spiritual healing. Thank you. And I promise to pray for this church. I pray that God would bless this church with unity, that more people would be sent out into all the world from this very stage, that we would all obey God's commands and listen to the Spirit's prompting in our hearts and lives. I'm so grateful to God for the people in this church that have loved me, encouraged me, and challenged me. I am so excited to go, and I am so excited that you guys are sending me. Remember that we serve a God who brings us through the water, walks us through the fire, shuts the mouths of lions, and brings dry bones to life. Thank you.
Let's make eye contact. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in this ministry and in all things, you may do God's will in the service of the kingdom of Christ. In the name of this congregation, I commend you to this work and pledge you our prayers, encouragement, and support. Let's pray. Almighty God, look with favor upon Molly, who has now reaffirmed her commitment to follow Christ and to serve in his name. Please give her courage, patience, and vision, and strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.